You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, gear up for the Cleveland Browns season at the newly remodeled Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium. Get 50% off. Yes, I said 50% off on select merchandise now through Sunday only. So the sale is underway. Plus, shop a wide variety of all new gear, including hats, t-shirts, jackets, and more, including free shipping on all new custom Browns jerseys. The Pro Shop is open 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. or call 440-824-3427 to place your order. Now it is time to go around the league with Jason Gibbs.
Number one.
Question number one today, guys. Eli Manning is in the final year of his contract with the New York Football Giants. A lot of rumblings coming out of New York. They're saying they need to pay the man. Would you give Eli Manning a big contract extension?
Absolutely. I know he's had some not as good years recently, but the alternative to when you have a quarterback as solid to him is always the unknown, and I will take the known over the unknown at quarterback. I mean, and the way NFL contracts work, it's not like you remember when Donovan McNabb signed that huge contract with the Redskins, they barely paid him anything. Clearly, he's going to get a lot of guaranteed money, but you're not like hamstrung by that contract if you do get him on a big contract extension.
I think you need to pay him, and what I would do for a guy like Eli is average out the top 10 salaries of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. And so instead of doing the five like a franchise tag, I do the top 10 because that's where I kind of put Eli. He's not in the top five, but he's just barely outside the top 10 after two Super Bowl wins. And your point, which I think is by far and away the hugest point out there when it comes to quarterback, you know he's the answer at quarterback, both short and long term. He has accomplished. Pay the man his money because you do not want to be one of the franchises, as the Browns have been since they've come back in 1999, to continue to search for that next franchise quarterback because there's not many out there.
Do you think he agrees, though, that he's not a top 10 quarterback?
He should if he doesn't.
Because that would be the hardest selling point, I would think, in the negotiation.
I don't know how you justify giving him a huge contract. He's late in his career. I get that he might only have two or three years left. What he's done, but are you going to pay him top 10 quarterback money, which is, you know, that's what he wants.
Right, but I think based on what he's done and to continue, as I mentioned, stabilize the quarterback position for the Giants franchise for the next 5 years, even beyond his prime, okay, pay him top 12. You pay him that money for what he's done and what he will continue to do for your franchise because you don't want to be one of the teams outside looking in and not have your guy
at
quarterback.
But what have you done for me lately? Just playing devil's advocate.
What have you
done for me lately?
Not a whole lot.
But is he the reason why they've struggled?
Victor Cruz hurt. You know, Odell Beckham hurt early in the season, comes back, and, you know, they look like the Giants of old.
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's up and down. Maybe this will be an up year for Eli, and then he'll get this top 10 money for sure. I think he'll get top 10 money.
I do too.
Because I think that they'll just realize that you got to keep him.
The Giants having an up year will make the NFC East very compelling to watch.
Yeah, definitely.
Number two today, guys. The one rookie in the AFC North that scares you is who?
Go ahead.
Oh,
I've got mine.
Maybe it's because Nathan kind of brainwashed me with this, but maybe Max Williams for the Baltimore Ravens. The second round pick. Rashad Perriman doesn't scare me as much. Bengals win O-line with their picks. I don't know how much of an effect that'll have. I just worry about what kind of dimension he can add to that Ravens offense alongside Crockett Gilmore. Those are two good tight ends in a Mark Trestman offense that might want to use these tight ends a little bit more. I think he might have the bigger impact on the offense than even a Rashad Perriman. So I'm picking Max Williams.
Well, you went with a player that we're going to potentially see two times this year. I'm going to go with two players that we're going to see only once, both of coming out of the AFC West. The one player that's going to that scares me as a rookie is Amari Cooper. How good is this kid really? Mm-hmm. You know, he can run all the routes. He's more than fast enough, not that fast, but how polished he is, and I just feel there's going to be a love affair between Derek Carr and him that it's going to be a 100-plus reception year as a rookie for him. And the other guy that I thought was an excellent draft pick is Melvin Gordon out in San Diego.
Yeah.
Ryan Matthews departs. LaDainian Tomlinson, of course, you know, during my era. Phillip Rivers needs to have that run game for him to be that MVP candidate. Early in the season, they'll be without Antonio Gates. So I think Melvin Gordon is a guy that can scare me, and potentially I have one of these two being a offensive rookie of the year candidate.
Yeah, and Gordon is a guy that can catch passes too.
Yes, he is.
And that is more similar to Tomlinson than Matthews was, a guy who just basically ran the ball.
Yep.
Number three.
All right, guys, three guys that have big question marks coming into this season. Sam Bradford, Todd Gurley, Jadeveon Clowney. Which player with the questions will have the most productive season in 2015?
I'm going with Bradford just because I think he's in a good situation in Philadelphia. And I, you know, karma can't be working against this guy that much where he gets hurt again. I mean, it just would be the most unfair thing ever for him for that to happen again, which you'd think if he did get seriously hurt again, that would be it for him.
Yeah.
You would think that'd be a wrap. But I think in Chip Kelly's offense, he didn't get traded, which we all, once the Eagles got him, everyone's like, oh, he's going to be traded again to get Mariota. That never happened. So maybe there was some truth to Chip Kelly really liking what this guy can do in his offense. And we saw what Nick Foles did when he was playing well. So I'm going with Bradford.
I will go with Bradford as well. He's a quarterback. He'll have an amazing opportunity there in Philly, as you mentioned, in Chip Kelly's system. So I will go with Bradford for the most productive. Gurley is a big question mark because you don't know, is he going to participate in training camp? Will he be ready by the season opener? So you can't say he's going to be productive if he's not even able to be on the field. And I think for me, the other name that we mentioned, Jadeveon Clowney, the expectations landing on his shoulders are extremely huge because you've got J.J. Watt, who has that bullseye on him each and every week and lives up to it and exceeds the expectation. And Jadeveon Clowney, for me, is a number one overall pick. Not doing anything this year, that B word, the bust word, will follow him throughout the rest of his career unless he has a double-digit sack year.
Yeah.
Number four.
If you had to cover another team's training camp other than the Browns, which team would you cover?
So this is me from a more selfish, wanting to be in a weird area type thing, but I'm intrigued by the Saints going to like the middle of West Virginia at a resort. I think that just would be so interesting to be around, and I just want to know what advantage they think they're getting by going out to a place like that as compared to an atmosphere like we see in Berea and other good training camp environments. So I'd like to see what that is like. Also, the Saints are kind of interesting. They got rid of Jimmy Graham this season. Drew Brees is getting older. They've got high expectations. They're apparently revamping their entire offense, going more of a power running model by keeping Mark Ingram. So I'm going with the Saints.
I have a couple, as you meant. I'm going to go with one is the Cowboys because in Jerry World, it's always interesting.
Yeah.
So following the Dallas Cowboys would be very interesting. Secondly, I'd go back technically home out to San Diego simply because of the weather and hang out there. And then the other intriguing team that I feel that we're going to speak to Liz Matthews later in the show, I think Seattle. And, you know, they're what happened last year in the Super Bowl and the Russell Wilson contract, which we'll talk to Liz about, you know, Earl Thomas being injured, not maybe being healthy enough to start the season. So the addition of Jimmy Graham, so yours subtraction, the addition of Jimmy Graham, what he means to the offense, I think it'd be Bobby Wagner's contract. So Richard Sherman's personality, it'd be fun covering that team.
Yeah, and then you didn't even mention Marshawn Lynch.
I didn't. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just another,
right?
Yeah, another.
Because you're not
going
to get to. He's only there because he's, you know, he has to be there. What was his quote? I'm only here so I don't get fined.
And Pete Carroll is one of the more entertaining coaches to watch.
Right.
You know, he opens up to the publicity and everything like that. I remember watching on TV they had these one-on-one drills that the Seahawks were showing on ESPN. That'd be a good one for sure.
Number five.
Final question today, guys. Next to the AFC North, which division will be the most competitive in 2015?
See, by competitive, I'm going with the fact that all four teams are going
to
be kind of right there
similar
with
to
each
last
other.
Year. Yep.
I'm going with the AFC West because I think the Chiefs, I think the Broncos are taking a step back. I think the Chiefs are going to be what they always are. I think the Chargers could be around that mix as well. And I think the Raiders are ready to take a bigger leap from where they've been. I think Derek Carr in his second year there with the Raiders, getting Amari Cooper. They've added a lot of pieces on defense. I think it could be one of those divisions where maybe you've got a couple 9-7s, maybe one 10-6, and then another 8-8. I think it could be one of those kind of divisions. They beat each other up. They may not be the best overall teams. I don't think they're producing any Super Bowl teams, but I think they're all going to be kind of similar.
I'm going to stay in the AFC, and I'm going to go with the AFC East because you have the dynamic of potentially Tom Brady missing games early in the season for the Super Bowl defending champion New England Patriots. You've got Rex Ryan now in Buffalo. You've got Shady McCoy in Buffalo. They've now got tons of talent there and a great defense to go along with it. Ryan Tannehill's big extension, and Ndamukong Suh now in Miami. And, I mean, the black sheep of the division is the New York Jets. And as we heard, as we previewed our opponents, they've gotten really good and got some weapons now with Brandon Marshall. They've got, you know, Williams, the kid out of USC in the draft. The questions, are, of course, going to surround, you know, Geno Smith as their quarterback.
Yeah, that's what makes that division pretty intriguing, is that you've got two teams that are potentially on the rise with the Jets and the Bills, but real big questions at quarterback for both those teams.
Absolutely. Gibbs, thank you very much.
You got it, guys.
That will do it for Around the League. And as we come back, we still want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Your three players who must have a big year or career year for the Browns to be successful. And also, training camp starts 1 week from today. What's your favorite training camp memory? Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, Jason Gibbs here in the Dog Bowl, live from Berea on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.